It is Advent, and it's our celebration of Christmas time and Christmas season. I never grew up celebrating Advent. You know, it's always more of a thing that was done in traditional churches and liturgical churches, and I was never a part of one of those growing up, and so I never really understood the concept until I think it was around a decade ago when I really started to study it and look into it and just understand the meaning and significance of the idea that it's during Christmas time that we wait for the coming of Jesus, and we wait in anticipation because we are in a period of time that's not unlike those who were waiting for the Messiah 2,000 years ago. We are waiting for him to come again. And so it's in that spirit that we really just remember and contemplate Advent and think about the coming of Christ into our world and all that that would mean for us. But Christmas is... it's such a conflicting time, and I think the reality of the matter is there's a lot of extra factors going on, and so we promote Christmas as this time of peace and this time of joy and tranquility, but in a lot of ways, the way that we have kind of scheduled around it makes it almost impossible to experience those things. You add a bunch of extra things to your calendar. You add some Christmas parties, whether it's for work or family or friends or whatever. You add all this extra shopping and time spent preparing gifts for friends and for family. Pretty soon, for those of you with kids, your kids will be out of school, and you'll have to figure out what to do with your kids, and you'll have to think of all the creative ways that you can keep them entertained and spend time with them at Christmas, because that's important, family at Christmas, and that adds pressure to your plate. And then in addition to all of that, you have these financial burdens that are going on, and you're spending, and you never seem to quite be prepared for all the expenses during Christmas, and the bonus never seems to be enough if you even get a bonus. And so there's a lot of extra stress. And I think on top of all of that, you know, we have this time that we spend with family. And that should be and could be a really good thing. But for many of us, there's a whole lot of anxiety that surrounds that as well. As we think about unresolved issues with family members, and we think about, you know, chronic issues with family members, and we get filled with a little bit of extra anxiety as we contemplate, you know, this time spent with family. And so there's all of that going on. There is this commercial that Audie put out that I think really captures some of the inner turmoil that we go through around Christmas time. And so, Carl, if you would roll the Audie commercial. Yeah, it's a good one. Pretty creative there. But I thought that captured it well, you know, just how one trip to the mall can create all of this complicatedness that I'm talking about this morning. But there's a lot that is going on in the world in addition to all of this, I think, that kind of betrays this feeling of peace that we are supposed to experience at Christmas. But, you know, peace really is one of the foundations of Christmas, one of the big ideas that we really contemplate. And it's the first message that God gives. He gives it to the shepherds who are in the fields, and it's found in Luke chapter 2, verse 14, as the angels appear to these shepherds, and they say this: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." On earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Peace is defined as this. Peace is shalom. It's the Jewish word for peace, and it's completeness, soundness, tranquility, almost the exact opposite of everything that we've been talking about and describing so far this morning. But the announcement that Gabriel brings of peace to these shepherds and goodwill and all these things that we sing about in these Christmas songs, they don't seem to depict what the first Christmas was like at all either. The first Christmas wasn't, in my opinion, defined by a feeling or an experience of peace, at least not on the surface as things are swirling around. Christmas being synonymous with peace is almost an oxymoron. Think of Mary's anxiety that she experienced as she's receiving this information from an angel that she's going to be with child and she's never been with a man, and now she's got to pass this off to the rest of her family. I doubt that her feeling was peace in that moment. I'm sure there was a great deal of stress that she was feeling and experiencing as well. How about her journey to Bethlehem? My wife and I, we had 4 kids, and the family sedan was not comfortable enough as we traveled to the hospital to prepare for birth. And I can only imagine what Mary experienced in a long, arduous journey on a donkey. Bethlehem is busy, so busy because of the census, and they had no room to be able to bed down, to be able to find a place for Jesus' birth to happen. He's born in an environment that is insanitary, and born in an environment that it's unsafe, born in an environment in which I'm sure was even horrific by first century birthing standards. The angels show up in a field to announce this birth of the baby to the shepherds, and it says that in the King James Version, again, they were sore afraid as they witnessed these angels, who I'm sure was a very ominous sight for all of them. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, immediately after his birth, flee Herod. They become refugees in Egypt for a few years until things calm down. The story of Christmas is not one that presents us with a feeling of peace. And then, to read another passage of Scripture, this is a narrative of the Christmas story that you don't read about in the Gospels. It's not found in Luke. It's not found in Matthew. It's not even found in John, although it's written by John. In Revelation chapter 12, there's a description of this Christmas story that is unlike any other that you have read before. Revelation 12, verse 1, it says this: "A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. And then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne." As you read a story like this, it gives new vision to the details of what is going on in this Christmas story. It's a lot more than maybe what our popular Christmas cards might entail. And there's this group that came up with a new set of Christmas cards. And typically, standard is to show a nativity scene, and many of you have probably Christmas cards that you've received this year with this particular serene setting on them. And I've put an image up here of a typical nativity scene for you. Is there no nativity scene in the slides? We're going to skip over this portion of the message now and chalk it up as a technical difficulty. Actually, I'll let you do some homework afterwards. In Huffington Post, you can Google it, and just Google Christmas peace pictures, and Huffington Post put a post out there about this group that created these shots of, you know, Mary and Joseph with a nuclear missile going off in the background, and a few other things. You know, I mean, Mary and Joseph in the midst clearly of a refugee crisis. He's leading her on a donkey, and it's of course conjuring into our minds all these images around the world that we frequently see with this feeling of Christmas that we all have. And of course, it's a bit of an oxymoron as we kind of recognize, gosh, I mean, Jesus came to bring peace into this world, but where is this peace to be found? Where is this peace that God promised? And what does it look like to experience it in the midst of the chaos that continues to swirl around. And the question that I want to address this morning is, you know, how does the coming of Jesus bring peace to the world? And is the peace of God an oxymoron, or is it something that we really can experience? Is it something that God has delivered on his promise for each and every one of us? You know, I mean, the reality is that there was wars and rumors of wars and all sorts of chaos and problems before the time of Jesus, and there has been as much following the time of Jesus. And so what does it mean? What does it mean to experience the peace of God? What does it mean that God came and brought his son into the world and gave us his peace? Philippians chapter 4 addresses this particular issue of what the peace of God looks like. And the Apostle Paul is writing, and he's a person who knew a great deal of suffering. He knew a great deal about hardship. He knew what it was he has credentials. He has street cred when it comes to describing what the peace of God is like, because for a person who experienced as much as he experienced to promote this idea of God's peace and to present it to us as something that is attainable, I think it's something worth listening to. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he describes this, and he's teaching and he's presenting and he's beseeching everyone that he's writing to. He's saying, you can experience the peace of God. And he's praying that they would experience the peace of God. And so in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, what Paul is describing for us is he's saying, finding peace in Jesus is a very real thing. You know, even though we can describe, you know, the condition of our world, and we can recognize, hey, things are not peaceful all around me and the environment all around me, finding peace in Jesus is still something that you can find. It's still something that is very, very real. And Paul gives us a few hints as to how this could be. He says, first of all, it's a peace that transcends understanding. In other words, it's a peace that doesn't necessarily make sense. It doesn't answer all of our questions. It doesn't explain everything that we are going through or everything that we have been through. It doesn't explain it away. And I think a lot of us, we would like to experience a peace that takes away the problems, or a peace that removes whatever it is that we are going through. But this peace that Jesus brings transcends our understanding. In a lot of ways, we interpret peace as the absence of anything going wrong, you know, the absence of hardship. But the way that Paul is describing it is something very different. It's a peace that resides within us in the midst of all of these things. It's a peace that transcends the understanding of what we are experiencing. And it doesn't compute for us that God, he reproves those he loves. It doesn't make sense that God would allow us to go through valleys. You know, I don't understand why I'm walking in the valley of the shadow of death, as the great poet David described it. But the peace that transcends understanding, and this is so important, the peace that transcends understanding says, Even though, it's an even though peace, even though you've been encountering troubled times, I'm with you. Even as you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, even as you are walking through a dark night of the soul, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. You might be suffering pain, you might be going through hardship, but I am the one who sustains you through it all. Here's the way I've heard people describe this kind of peace. I've heard people say things like this. You know, I was given a cancer diagnosis. And as the words are coming out of the doctor's mouth, somehow, strangely, I don't even understand it, but I was at peace with everything that they were saying. And it doesn't make sense. It's probably the scariest thing I've ever heard in my life, but I've never felt more peace than in that moment. I I've heard people describe moments like that. Or the idea of losing your job, you know, the fear that comes out of that. I've heard people say, you know, even in the midst of that, even in the midst of all the worries and the fears that may be swirling around, I was strangely calm. I never panicked. I just knew that God had me. I knew that he had me. I knew that he was my provider. I knew that he was going to be there for me in the midst of all that I was going to go through. I've heard people time and time again, I've experienced time and time again, that kind of peace. The illusion is that the world is falling apart. The reality is that he's got the whole world in his hands. Right? We don't want to give way or sway to the illusion. But Paul goes even beyond that. He tells us about this peace that transcends understanding. But then he goes on to explain a little bit to us about how it works. And not completely, right? Because it transcends understanding. But he helps us to understand. He helps us to put some parameters around how the peace of God, it guards our hearts and our minds. And so he says, it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And your heart, I think, is the part that is transcending understanding. You know, because your heart is your subconscious self. You know, it's who you are in spite of what you consciously tell yourself about who you are. It's how you feel regardless of the words that you speak or maybe the face that you put on in public, right? It's how you feel. It's who you are deep down inside. And our heart is mysterious, and that can be hard for us to understand how God guards our heart. But spiritually, he guards our heart. He brings defense against the attacks of the enemy, against the fallen nature within us. God is guarding your heart. He's guarding those deep emotions that you experience and feel. He's guarding our hearts, Paul says. And then I think a little bit more perceptible to us is this idea of him guarding our minds. Because we know that our thoughts in our heads, that the swirl around that we have all throughout the day, they have a huge impact on our disposition. They have a huge impact on who we are and how we feel and what we present to the world. And Paul says, he's guarding our minds. When I start to obsess with the fear of what might happen or what could happen, God says, don't waste your time conceiving all the ways that I'm going to fail you. Have faith that I'm going to be right by your side. When I sense that I'm falling into anxiety and worry over all the things that are going on in my life and all the things that might go wrong, I hear that still small voice say to me, don't obsess over things you can't control. I'm the one who's in control. Turn your attention and your trust to me. Focus on me. Don't fill your mind with anxiety. Don't rack your mind with fear. Guard your mind, right? It's just that reminder. It's just that subtle reminder that I can be in control of your thoughts if you will let me. If you will submit, if you will listen, if you will pay attention, I will guard your heart, I will guard your mind, and I will bring you a peace that transcends all understanding. You can't change people. You can't control circumstances. What you need to do is trust in me, and I will equip you with everything that you need to stand firm, to be strong, to be courageous in the moment of disaster, in the moment of chaos, in the moment of confusion. I will be with you. I will bring you a peace that trans understanding. And then he sums it all up, and I think this is what's so important. He sums it up and he says that this peace is found in Christ Jesus. So what the angel announced to the shepherds in that field that night 2,000 years ago has come into the world, that the peace of God is real. It's reality, but it lives in our hearts, in our minds. Are you in Christ Jesus? Are you in Christ Jesus? Then you have access to this peace that transcends understanding, to this peace that guards your heart and guards your minds. I love what the scriptures say, that we have been entrusted with the gospel of peace. And I think that's such a motivating factor, especially when it comes to this season. Because we remember that peace has come into this world. We remember that peace is ours in Christ Jesus. And so we have been commissioned to present this gospel of peace to the world. And if we look all around us and we see anything but peace, we see chaos, we can see confusion, we see war, we see all sorts of rivalries, all sorts of issues between nations, between individuals and people at your workplace, people in your neighborhood, people in your family, and you recognize all the contentiousness, and you've been entrusted with this gospel of peace that resides inside of you and resides inside of me. And the great calling for us as believers this season is that we are these ambassadors of the gospel of peace. And that if peace exists anywhere in the world, it resides in us. And so we have this responsibility to present ourselves to the world in a way that promotes peace. We promote peace with our words. We promote peace with our actions. We promote peace with the very selves that we present in our workplaces and in our neighborhoods, in our family gatherings and settings. We bring the gospel of peace. And that's the good news, right? That's the good news of Christmas, that God has given to each and every one of us this gift of peace, and that he has entrusted it to us so that we could share it with the rest of the world. And that's what we are. And I hope that I can inspire you this morning to be ambassadors of this gospel of peace, that every environment that you bring yourself into, that you would bring an element of peace that we have in Christ Jesus. Peace on earth. Peace because a Savior is born to you. Peace because his presence is not off into the distance somewhere. His peace resides within each and every one of us. And if you're having a hard time finding it out there, then perhaps you need to reflect on how in Christ Jesus you can receive it in here. And so I want to just commission you this morning, if you're feeling the weight of the injustice in our world, if you're living in frustration over the events and the things that you see all around you, peace be with you this morning. Peace be with you. If you're suffering from the pain of loss, I know especially around this time of the year, we suffer from the pain of those that we have lost, the loss of loved ones, the loss of people that were very close to us. May the peace of God be with you this season. For those who are struggling with despair, you're battling depression, you're battling these negative thoughts that are bombarding you throughout the course of your day, may the peace of God, may the peace of God guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus this season. And for those of us who have dragged all sorts of burdens into these doors, things that are weighing on our hearts, things that are weighing on our minds, may the peace of God be with you this morning. When Jesus came into the world 2,000 years ago, famously in the story, there's no room for him in the inn. And as the song that we sing, the popular hymn and carol says, let every heart prepare him room. And I just want to ask that as we pray and as we close this morning, that we would do just that. That we would consider how we can prepare our hearts and our minds for the coming of Christ. That he would reside in us. That he would bring us the peace that only he can bring. Thanks for that image. That was one of the ones that I wanted to show. But you can take it down now. Thanks so much. But let's just pray and let's ask that God would do just that. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to you for the peace that you bring. God, we recognize that each and every one of us is responsible for the peace that has come into this world. God, we have been given this capacity to be carriers of your peace, to be ambassadors of your peace. And everything that you do in the world, if Christmas tells us anything, if the incarnation tells us anything, everything you do in the world, you want to work out through the hands and feet of people who follow you, of the people that you have commissioned in this world to bring the peace of God to the world. And so, God, I pray that each and every one of us would take on that responsibility. Lord, that we would prepare room in our hearts for your coming. And God, we receive your peace now. God, we receive it for those who mourn. We receive your peace. For those who despair, we receive your peace. God, for those who are living in frustration and bitterness, may they receive your peace. God, we ask that you would prepare our hearts. And God, in the process, Lord, you guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Lord, we recognize this morning that peace comes on whom his favor rests. And so, God, would you grant us your favor this morning? Would you give us your grace? Which is to say, would you give us your peace today? We receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.